Welcome to KHD Bible Study Podcast. My name is Reb Emanuel. I'm a teacher and an elder at Kehilat HaDerech Messianic Synagogue in New York City. Each week, I lead a detailed study from a Messianic Jewish perspective into the Holy Scriptures, chapter by chapter, adding historical context to the events, people, and places. Each week, passionate people gather to read the scriptures, discuss the significance, and ask questions that help to bring out a deeper understanding of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We hope you will join us as we explore the 12 prophets.
Thank you very much for coming. Tonight we will be looking at the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is probably one of the least quoted prophets. His work seems to fall in between the heavyweights of his period. The prophet Isaiah is in the past. So also is Hosea and Amos. And now we've entered a new time period where the scriptures focus solely upon the southern kingdom, the kingdom of Judah. And we have a younger group of prophets who will emerge. Younger in that their commissions began when they were very young men. That includes Jeremiah, Daniel, and Ezekiel. The two men that we know the least about in terms of their age, but we do know when they started, is Zephaniah and Habakkuk. As a matter of fact, if you have the flyer, you'll see a timeline on the second page, but we will get to that a little bit later. So, as I mentioned, of the younger group, Jeremiah is by far the heavyweight. Jeremiah is the minister in the field. He was there during all of the trials and disruptions that were going on as we come into the final decades of the nation or the kingdom of Judah. While Daniel and Ezekiel are very young men, probably teens, and they will be carried off by Nebuchadnezzar or by the armies of the Babylonians into Babylon, Neo-Babylon. Zephaniah's fathers are mentioned, they're presented, but the reason why they're listed, just so that everyone knows, is typically, according to the sages, when you list the name of your fathers, it is because the fathers had a prominent role. And so these fathers, the father of Zephaniah and his father appear to have been prophets. They did not leave written work. And one of them, whose name you'll recognize very quickly, is Hezekiah. However, it's important for me to point out to everyone here that this is not the King Hezekiah, but merely another person with the name Hezekiah or a prominent person, possibly a prophet with the name Hezekiah. Zephaniah prophesied during the reign of King Josiah. He was the last good king of Judah. As you know, he's considered one of the better kings of the entire history of Judah. But his father was not. His father was King Amon. And King Amon was an evil ruler who encouraged idolatry. He rose to the throne. King Amon rose to the throne at age 22. 2 Kings 21 and 2 Chronicles 33 speak of King Amon, and I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 33. He did what was evil in the sight of Adonai, just as his father Manasseh had done. Amon sacrificed to all the carved images that Manasseh, his father, had made and worshiped them. He did not humble himself before Adonai as his father Manasseh had humbled himself. Instead, Amon increased his guilt. And naturally, he received the result of that. The people of Judah rebelled, and they made an 8-year-old child the king. That king was Josiah. The people of the land struck down all who had conspired against King Amon. And the people of the land made Josiah his son a king in his place. That's 2 Chronicles 33, verse 25. Just a boy, a young boy. Chronicle states, he did right in the eyes of Adonai and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. However, it should be pointed out that there is a gap in this young man's life. The pivotal turning point in Josiah's life came when he was 16 years old. In the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek after the God of his father, David. In the 12th year, which would have made him 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, the Asherah poles, and the carved and molten images. Again, this is from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 2 and 3. The sages do not agree on when exactly Zephaniah prophesied. So we have to do good detective work. And it makes it pretty obvious that Zephaniah began before the eight-year-old was sworn in. His indictments are against the kings who were before him. But it seems to have affected the young man very deeply. The words of the Torah tell us that King Josiah was just and righteous. But as I mentioned earlier, there is that gap between the time he ascended to the throne as an eight-year-old boy and the time he became righteous. I believe, and I'm not the only one, there are other people who believe this as well, that it was the powerful and frightening words of the prophet Zephaniah, speaking of complete destruction, which was the driving force for King Josiah learning to walk in the ways of his father, his ancestor, King David. Tonight, we will put the book of Zephaniah in that eight-year span between the eight-year-old boy who listened to the warnings of the prophet Zephaniah and the one who became the king who did right in the sight of Adonai. It is evident from the emphatic tone of Zephaniah that if the king had not desired to change, all those calamities that Zephaniah talked about, that he prophesied in his book, would have transpired during his reign. The time was up. Instead, because of Josiah's righteousness, the events were delayed of having everything come down on King Josiah during his lifetime. It fell to his successors and his sons. We know them as Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and King Zedekiah. So to help us understand the timeline of Zephaniah and King Josiah, that whole 51 time year gap, we have on the second page, a handout, which is on screen right now. And I'm just going to briefly go through those events because I think that for many of us, we don't fully understand what is happening, when and how it's happening and how quick things are happening. So let's look at the flyer. As I mentioned before, the clock started ticking when Josiah became king. That was 640 BCE. At 8 years old, his father had been deposed, and he now sat on the throne. In 633, Josiah follows the ways of King David. Now, the wonderful thing about the story of Josiah and about Nebuchadnezzar is that they appear in the history books. And because of that, we can get a pretty accurate record of everyone who came through that time period. A lot of that has to do with the fact that kings, when the prophets mention kings in their books, they are giving us a perfect time frame for when they are around. And since we can date King Josiah very accurately, and we can date his ancestor, King Zedekiah, exactly accurately with the history books, with Nebuchadnezzar and the kings of Babylon, we have a pretty accurate timeline. I have not seen this done by anyone yet, but you're looking at it tonight for the first time. I sat down with the calculator and did the numbers. 633 BCE, Josiah begins to follow the ways of King David. In 627, just a few years later, Jeremiah begins his prophecy. Jeremiah enters the scene. He is reigning from that time period until after the fall, or shall I say, Jeremiah is ministering until after the fall of Jerusalem. Habakkuk enters at 625. And then at 622, we have the rise of Babylon. And we know this because of Habakkuk. He mentions clearly that his prophecy begins before the rise of Babylon. Then we have the fall of Nineveh, recorded in history, 612 BCE. And then we have a series of kings that, as you can see by the timelines, it was a disaster for Judah. King Jehoahaz rebelled against Assyria. King Jehoiakim rebelled. They all ran into trouble. And here comes the kingdom of Neo-Babylonia, King Nebuchadnezzar, actually his father first, and then King Nebuchadnezzar. And so we know that Daniel, along with many other princes, were offered as a sacrifice to avoid destroying Jerusalem. He was one of many, and we know the names of his three companions. But they were, and the king, were taken away as a, how can I say it, tribute or a sacrifice to spare the rest of Judah. And in the process, King Jehoiachin was removed, and his brother, King Zedekiah, who had a different name, I'll give you that at the end, but he had a different name, and his name, King Zedekiah, was raised up by Nebuchadnezzar and put on the throne. And we know that that led to pretty much 10 years of trouble because he rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. He imprisoned Jeremiah. He tried to shut up the prophets of God and thereabout caused the rapid destruction of Jerusalem, which fell in 586 BCE. And as we know, Ezekiel was carried off during one of the sieges of Jerusalem. So we have, for the first time, a fairly accurate timeline. Now, as I've mentioned on many occasions, the numbers that I use are one particular standard. Some historians will take issue with the particular start date of one king or another, and they will want to shift the numbers around, but the events are accurate. So, what's interesting is that the prophet Nahum, who foretold the destruction of Nineveh, actually got a chance to see it. And it's Jonah who went to Nineveh, got them to repent, and then he sat around waiting to see the destruction of Nineveh. He never got the chance to see it because the people repented and God gave them time. It was the prophet Nahum who got the chance to see the final destruction of Nineveh. But as I mentioned before, for the sake of King Josiah, the people of Judah were given a chance to return to Torah practice. Destruction and the destruction of Judah was withheld for 51 years. During that time, we have the prophets Jeremiah, Huldah, a prophetess, Habakkuk, and of course, Zephaniah. They all encouraged the people to repent and return to proper temple practices and Torah life. But instead of reforming for those 50 years, in some cases, the priesthood became more corrupt, and even the chambers in the temple were desecrated with graffiti dedicated to foreign gods, in addition to the images that were carried into the temple. Jeremiah gives us an exact date for his beginning of his prophecy. Habakkuk also gives us an exact timeline. Huldah did not, although she was consulted, and you'll see that in the book of Jeremiah, she was consulted by the leadership to receive understanding from God. So she is a valid prophet in this time period. However, she did not write any books that we are aware of. So now, let's take a moment and just kind of briefly look at the book of Zephaniah itself. In chapter 1, Adonai is very angry. He warned the children of Israel when they first left Egypt that he was a jealous God. And early in the chapter, he has lost his temper. You can tell. He threatens to wipe out everyone and everything. But in the verse, if you read, as we read it, you'll see it. He makes it very clear that he's not angry with everyone. He's angry with an adulterous Judah, the kingdom of Judah. That's in Zephaniah. I'm going to read you Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the names of the idolatrous priests along with the Kohanim, those bowing down on the roofs to the hosts of heavens, those bowing down swearing to Adonai, also swearing by Moloch. So this is very clear. This section takes place before the reforms that Josiah introduces. Josiah goes through and he removes that false priesthood. He tears down the high places. So these verses take place, put us in the time period in that 8 years from the time that he rose to the throne and when Zephaniah is making his pronouncements. Chapter 2, we have the destruction of the surrounding nations being revealed. And then in chapter 3, Adonai makes it clear that he's looking forward in the long view, looking forward through time. And we will see that he talks about cutting off the great nations and calling them together to pour out his wrath on them. So now, let us go ahead and read the book of Zephaniah.
Chapter 1, the word of Adonai that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, son of Gedaliah, son of Amariah, son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will totally sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares Adonai. I will sweep away man and beast. I will sweep away the birds of the sky and the fish of the sea also, the stumbling blocks, the wicked. I will cut off mankind from the face of the earth, declares Adonai. I will stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, the names of the idolatrous priests along with the Kohanim, those bowing down on the roofs to the host of the heavens, those bowing down, swearing to Adonai, and also swearing by Molech, those turning from following Adonai, not seeking Adonai or consulting him. Be silent before Adonai, God, for the day of Adonai is at hand. Adonai has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated his guests on the day of Adonai's sacrifice. I will punish the princes, the king's sons, and all who dress in foreign attire. In that day, I will punish all who skip over the threshold while filling their master's house with violence and deceit. In that day, declares Adonai, there will be the sound of screaming from the fish gate, wailing from the second district, and a loud crash from the heights. Howl, inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the people of Canaan are destroyed. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men whose spirits have hardened, who say in their hearts, Adonai will do neither good nor evil. Their wealth will become plunder, their houses a ruin. They will build houses, but not live in them. They will plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. The great day of Adonai is near, near and coming very quickly. The sound of the day of Adonai is bitter. The shouting of the warrior is there. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastating storm and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of shofar and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high corner towers. I will bring such distress upon mankind that they will walk like the blind, for they have sinned against Adonai. Their blood will be poured out like dust, and their flesh like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to rescue them on the day of Adonai's wrath. With the fire of his passion, the entire earth will be consumed. For he will make a total, dreadful annihilation of all the inhabitants of the earth.
Chapter 2. Gather together, O shameless nation, before the decree is brought forth, before the day passes away like chaff, before Adonai's burning anger comes upon you, before the day of Adonai's anger comes upon you. Seek Adonai, all you humble of the land who have executed his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. Perhaps you will be hidden on the day of Adonai's wrath. For Gaza will be abandoned and Ashkelon will be a wasteland. Ashdod will be driven out at noon and Ekron will be uprooted. Oi to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nation of Keratites. The word of Adonai is against you, Canaan, the land of the Philistines, and I will destroy you until there is no inhabitant. The seacoast will become pastures with meadows for shepherds and folds for flocks. The coast will belong to the remnant of the house of Judah, upon which they will graze. In the houses of Ashkelon, they will lie down in the evening, for Adonai their God will visit them and return them from captivity. I have heard the taunts of Moab and the jeers of the children of Ammon, who taunted my people and expanded on their border. Therefore, as I live, declares Adonai, Sabaoth, God of Israel, Moab will be like Sodom and Ammon like Gomorrah, a possession of weeds and a salt pit, a perpetual wasteland. The remainder of my people will plunder them. The remnant of my nation will dispossess them. This is what they will get for their pride, for they have taunted and expanded against the people of Adonai Zavol. Adonai will be fearsome against them. For all the gods of the earth he will make waste away. To him will bow, each from its place, the islands of the nations. You Ethiopians too will be slain by my sword. He will stretch out his hand against the north and devastate Assyria and make Nineveh as a wasteland, dry as a desert. Flocks will lie down in hermits. All kinds of beasts, both the little owl and the great owl, will lodge in her pillars. A voice will hoot in the window. Ruin will be in the doorway, for the cedar beams will be exposed. This is the exultant city dwelling securely, saying in her heart, it's me, no one else but me. How did she become a ruin, an abode for wild beasts? Everyone who passes by her hisses and shakes his fist.
Chapter 3. Oy to the oppressive city, filthy and defiled. She did not obey. She took no correction. She did not trust in Adonai. She did not draw near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges are wolves of the night, leaving nothing but bones for mourning. Her prophets are reckless, treacherous men. Her Kohanim have profaned what is holy. They do violence to Torah. Adonai is righteous in her midst. He will do no injustice. Morning by morning, he brings his justice to light.
He does not fail, yet the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their towers have become desolate. I have destroyed their streets with no one passing by. Their cities are laid waste with no one, none living there. I said, surely you will fear me. You will accept correction. So her dwelling place would not be cut off. All that I appointed against her. But they rose early and made all of their deeds corrupt. Therefore, wait for me, declares Adonai, for the day when I rise up for my plunder, for my decision is to assemble nations, to gather kingdoms, to pour out my fury upon them, all my burning anger. For in the fire of my wrath, all the earth will be consumed. For then I will restore to the people pure speech, so that all of them may call upon the name of Adonai and serve him shoulder to shoulder. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my scattered ones, will bring my offering. On that day, you will not be ashamed because of all your deeds by which you rebelled against me. For then I will remove from your midst your proud, arrogant ones, and you will never again be haughty on my holy mountain. But I will leave among you a people meek and humble. They will take refuge in the name of Adonai. The remnant of Israel will do no injustice, nor will they tell lies, nor will a deceitful tongue be found in their mouths. For they will graze and lie down, and no one will make them afraid. Sing aloud, O daughters of Zion. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice and exult wholeheartedly, O daughter of Jerusalem. Adonai has taken away your punishments. He has turned back your adversary. The king of Israel, Adonai, is in your midst. Never again will you fear harm. On that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, have no fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Adonai, your God, is in your midst, a mighty savior. He will delight over you with joy. He will quiet you with his love. He will dance for joy over you with singing. I will gather those among you who grieve over your Moedim. It is a burden of shame on you. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who oppress you. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will make them a praise and a name throughout all the land where they have suffered shame. At that time, I will bring you in. At that time, I will gather you. For I will give you renown and glory among all the peoples of earth when I restore your captives before your eyes, declares Adonai. Tonight, we experienced a scripture, and I wonder if many of us caught it, that is unique in all of the Holy Scriptures. I want to draw our attention to it. In chapter 3, Adonai reveals something about himself most of us have never considered. He looks forward through the eyes of his prophet, and we see Adonai will give his remnant a pure speech, allowing them to use and call on his name, something none of us can do today without some type of repercussion. Perhaps most amazingly, we also see Adonai rejoicing with his people. That's very unusual. Most of the time in the scriptures, you'll see the angels are singing to him, to Adonai, or you'll see that the people are celebrating and giving thanks to him. But here, in this one verse, in Zephaniah 3:17, he will be singing, rejoicing with singing over his people. That verse in Hebrew says, Yagil, Alalak, Alayik, Be'rina. Rejoice over you with singing. He will rejoice with the people, rejoicing over them with singing. Never in all of the scriptures is any verse written like that, where we hear that the voice of Adonai would be lifted and singing with his people. It's a very unique scripture. And unfortunately, very few people quote this or quote the scriptures from Zephaniah. And very few people actually look at the book, but it's an amazing book. And also, as I mentioned earlier, because of the words of Zephaniah, King Josiah initiated reforms that allowed him to stay in power over 30 years. And he led Judah into a time of prosperity, which he then turned over to his sons, who then promptly destroyed all the work that he has done. And in 20 years, the kingdom fell. Next week, we look at the book of Habakkuk. Thank you all for coming. Have a great night.
Thank you for joining us on our journey through Tre Asar, the 12 prophets. Join us each week as we look in detail at each of the 12 prophets. In the words of Malachi, "Then those who revere Adonai spoke with each other, and Adonai took notice and heard, and a scroll of remembrance was written before him for those who revere Adonai, even those who esteem his name. So they shall be mine, says Adonai Savuot, in the day I will make my own special possession. So I will spare them as one spares his son serving him." Malachi 3:16 through 17.